الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we can reading the narrations that the author الحافظ عبد الغني عبد الغني المقدسي he had mentioned رحمه الله تعالى in the chapter of الزكاه after discussing a number of the issues and details related to this great obligation and the third pillar of al-Islam. We began reading these narrations, the author he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, seeking the help and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal. Kitab al-Zakah, the chapter of Zakah. We have seen the definition of Zakah linguistically and likewise legislatively, as well as the relationship between them and the benefits with regards to this issue here. And now the author, he says, رحمه الله تعالى عن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لمعاذ بن جبل حين بعثه إلى اليمن حين بعثه إلى اليمن. So the author, he mentioned now the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. Whenever he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, whenever he sent him to al-Yaman. It is known that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would send individuals from his companions radiyallahu anhum to the lands to be callers to Tawheed and to clarify the religion and to be judges amongst the people and likewise to be rulers over them and the likes like this. So from those that were sent, it was Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, when he was sent to al-Yaman. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that this was in the 10th year of the Hijrah. This is whenever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Mu'adh here to al-Yaman. يَعْنِي لِيَكُونَ دَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَوَارِيًا عَلَيْهِمْ وَقَاضِيًا, so that he can be a caller to Allah and a teacher and the one who will be in charge of them and have authority and a judge amongst them. So at this time, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he's informing us of what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him before he sent him. And he says, إِنَّكَ سَتَأْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلَ كِتَابٍ إِنَّكَ سَتَأْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلَ كِتَابٍ, indeed you're going to come to a people, the people of the book. فَإِذَا جِئْتَهُمْ فَادْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So if you come to them, then you invite them and call them to bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. And if they obey you in that, meaning if they submit and surrender and agree to this, and they bear witness and testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inform them that Allah has made obligatory upon them to pray five prayers and every day and every night. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. And if they obey you in that, meaning after accepting the Shahada and entering to the fold of al-Islam, and then after that accepting the fact that it's an obligation for them to establish these five daily prayers, if they agree to this likewise and they obey you in that, then after that inform them that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed an obligatory charity upon them that is taken from the wealthy amongst them, and it is given and distributed to the poor. And it is given and distributed to the poor from amongst them. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ فَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if they obey you in that, meaning if they give you that charity, then I warn you from taking their most precious wealth. And ikara'im is the prod of karima, and it's the amwal al-nafisa, the most precious and valuable of their wealth. فَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. So if you take their charity, be cautious from taking their most precious and beloved and the most valuable wealth from them. وَاتَّقِي دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. And you should fear Allah Azza wa Jal, fear the supplication of the oppressed. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. Because indeed there is no veil between the supplication of the one who was oppressed and between Allah. Meaning that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal, He responds to the one who is oppressed whenever He supplicates in distress about the one who was oppressing him. This is something that is very serious. So we see here that this narration here is from those most beneficial narrations with many benefits that have been derived from the likes of this narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first and foremost, before he sent him to Yemen, he gave him advice concerning the people that he's going to. So from here we see that from the obligations of the wali al-amr and those who have authority over the Muslims and the likes is to send individuals through the lands to call to Allah, to call the non-Muslims to Allah, and likewise to call the Muslims to Allah. So it's legislated here to send individuals who are people of knowledge and known for piety and the correct manners and the upright religion, that from time to time and the likes, they will be sent to the people of ignorance or to the far-off lands or to the disbelievers or to those who are not aware of the sunnah, so on and so forth, in order to educate them and to call them and to teach them and to clarify for them the rulings of al-Islam and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, from the way in doing this is to inform that individual of the type of people that he's going to. So it's very important to understand the condition of the people one is going to call. If somebody is going to call an individual and invite them to Islam, it's very important to know their circumstance and situation and what they're upon. If there are people who believe in prophets and messengers and believe in previous revelation, or if there are people who do not believe in prophets and messengers, so on and so forth, and this is the case. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's advising him in this manner, إِنَّكَ سَتَأْتِي قَوْمٍ أَهْلَ كِتَابٍ. And indeed you're going to come to a people from the people of the book, meaning they have knowledge of the previous revelation. They have knowledge of the book and the previous prophets, alayhi wassalatu wassalam. So he will now prepare himself to deal with them and to be able to be prepared and to be ready to debate with them in the best manner. And knowing that these individuals here, they're people of the book and they have knowledge of those prophets and messengers, and their book has been distorted and the likes like this. So now he has information and knowledge of this affair, so he can make the proper preparation in order to address them in the best manner, hoping that they will benefit from his admonition and from his advice. And then likewise, in this narration we see from the benefits of this affair is that whenever one is going to call a people, he will begin with that which is most important. He will begin with that which is most important, and meaning that he will prioritize. In da'wah there is priorities, and likewise in talab al-ilm, in calling to Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise in seeking knowledge, there are priorities and there are issues and there is knowledge that takes precedence. And from that is that which is clarified here, and that is the proper creed and the proper belief and understanding the testimony of faith correctly and properly, and believing in that and establishing that firmly in the heart, to bear witness and to testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he began in this manner. فَإِذَا جِئْتَهُمْ, if you come to them, فَادْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And some of the wordings, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ, أَنْ يُوَحِدُوا اللَّهِ, وَعِبَادَةُ اللَّهِ, وَشَهَادَ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ, مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Like this, different wordings have come, yani clarifying the importance of this issue here, and that this is the priority and this begins first and this is what takes precedence and this is most important. And that is because this is the foundation of the religion, and everything after that from the rest of the affairs of the religion is founded and based upon that. It's based upon the shahada. So then that which comes after that, if it's not based upon the proper foundation, it will never be accepted. It will never be accepted. All of the prayer and all of the salah or all of the charity or all of the good deeds, if it's not based upon the firm foundation, the firm statement, the good word of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, it will never be accepted. It will never be accepted. So therefore, he will begin with this issue, and he will plant the seed of Tawheed in the hearts of the people, and he will cultivate then. And if they accept that and they go upon that way, then he'll move after that to that which takes priority. Just as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has ordered Mu'adh radiallahu anhu in this narration. So here we see the obligation of making it tadarruj, any little by little, and also looking to that which is most important. Al-badu bil ahammi fal aham. يعني بالتدرج وبالأهم فالأهم. So one, he will call to Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise he will teach, and likewise he will learn and seek knowledge as well. يعني beginning with that which is most important and that which takes precedence, and likewise little by little, according to priorities, and the rank of the obligations. There are many obligations, but some of them are more obligatory. For example, the greatest obligation, The greatest and the first obligation, is to establish the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. أَوَّلُ وَاجِبٍ عَلَى الْعَبِيدِ مَعْرِفَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. The very first obligation upon all of the slaves is to know Allah Azza wa Jal by way of His Tawheed. You need to know Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by His Lordship and by His authority and His command and by His beautiful names and attributes of perfection, and know Him by complying to Him and submitting to Him in obedience and worshipping Him alone. And worshipping Him alone with no partners. This is the first obligation. And this is the greatest obligation. فَلِيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Let the first thing that you call them to, is to bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every da'wah that is not based upon the call of Tawheed is a false da'wah, and it is a weak da'wah, and it is misguidance. Rather, the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is based upon Tawheed, founded upon Tawheed. Rather, his call is to Tawheed from the beginning to the end of his life. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called the people to worship Allah alone with no partners, and to sing without Allah alone with all aspects of worship. And he cut off every avenue that could lead to this particular right being invalidated or being violated or being weakened or being disrespected in any manner, in creed or in deed or even in action and speech. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he shut all of the doors, even to the extent the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became angry. An individual come to him, try to honor him and respect him. Ma sha Allahu wa shi'ta. Whatever Allah wills and whatever you will, O Messenger of Allah. Trying to honor him and respect him. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not allow this, and he was not pleased with this. And he considered this as extremism in the religion, and people raising him beyond his boundary and giving him a right and a status and rank that Allah did not allow him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَجَعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ عِدْلًا. Had you made me a peer or an equal with Allah Azza wa Jal? بَلْ مَشَى اللَّهُ وَحْدًا. Rather, whatever Allah wills alone. And it's whatever Allah wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has the complete authority and the complete command. It's His right alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is his call. And this was the call of those who he sent out to call. And it's founded and based upon this. And this is the means for success in this life, in the da'wah and the call, and likewise for an individual. This is what he called himself to. This is the call that he applies in his life, in his home. This is what he tries to establish in his heart, and his family, and his home, with his children, and with his loved ones. This is the means for success. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مؤمنة. In some narrations, إلا نفس مسلمة. No one will enter paradise except for a believing soul, except for a Muslim soul, a Muslim that lived and died upon لا إله إلا الله. The one who lives and dies upon لا إله إلا الله, he has the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla to enter paradise. He has the promise of Allah to enter paradise. So long as he lives upon that and dies upon that and did not invalidate that before he died, وَلِيَاذِ بِاللَّهِ, then he has the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal, even if he had sins that reached the sky. So long as he did not invalidate this right here. And he brought this, then his final destination and his outcome will be the paradise and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is from the great value and the weight of this statement. So this affair here is very important. This affair here is very important. We see this is in the 10th year. This is in the 10th year. So 10 years after the Hijrah have gone by. And before that, in Mecca, how many years have gone by? So how many years have gone by now? 23 years. 23 years have gone by, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's still calling in this manner. The 10 years before that, whenever he was in Mecca, he called only to this affair himself. Only to this affair himself, before salah. Before calling to salah, before calling to zakat, before calling to fasting, before calling to the rest of the great obligations and sacred rites of Islam, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called to this statement. He called to this creed. He called to the creed of at-tawheed and to single out Allah alone with all actions of worship for 10 years, striving in this manner, planting the seed of faith in the hearts of his companions and cultivating that and nourishing that and growing that until they're strong and firm upon tawheed. Until they're strong and firm upon tawheed. And after this, they migrate and they're strong. And then the obligations of al-Islam begin to be established, and they are able to bear that and to carry that and to establish that in their life. So whenever the tawheed is strong, the obligations, they become facilitated for a person. And a believer, he will taste the sweetness of that whenever he has sincerity in his heart. And he does it for the sake of Allah. And whenever this statement here is cultivated firmly in the heart of a believer, it will bring nothing but benefit for him in this life and the hereafter. Nothing but benefit for him in this life and the hereafter. And this is the most, and this is the heaviest statement and the greatest word. And the most beneficial statement that can be made, and the most beloved testification and testimony to Allah Azza wa Jal. To Allah Azza wa Jal. But if a person, he's not careful, this statement can become tainted. And this statement can be weakened. And this statement can become light in the scale of an individual. And maybe he will have this statement, but it will not benefit him in the manner that it should or that it could, because of his weakness and his deficiency in fulfilling the rights of this statement. Because after establishing the statement, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are rites that must be fulfilled. The sacred rites of Islam, by establishing the obedience of Allah, and complying and surrendering and submitting to Him with tawheed, and obedience, and willful submission, and humbleness, with love, and hope, and trust, and reliance, and fear, and compliance, and surrender, and submission. Yani, to the best of one's ability, fulfilling the obligations of Allah, believing in this statement. Fulfilling the obligations of Allah, believing in this statement. Avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions of Allah, believing in this statement. Complying to the commandment of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and preferring his way over the way of one's customs and people and his society and the likes like this, and that which his desires prefer. Rather preferring the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complying to that, abiding by that, restricting oneself in his life, in his manners, in his conduct, in his dealings, in his worship, in his creed, whenever he comes and whenever he goes, in his dealings, in every aspect of his life, to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's the Messenger of Allah. Who knows better than the Messenger of Allah? Whose path is better than the Messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one. This is very clear. But we have whims, we have desires, and we have devils that call us and that whisper to us, and we have a soul that tries us. So there's jihad here. The one who strives sincerity, he's truthful with Allah, and he strives in jihad against his own soul to establish this statement, he will have much good in his life. He will have much good in his life and in the hereafter. This statement here is the key to paradise. This statement here, this is what we live for, and this is what we die for. This is what we live for, and this is what we hope to die for. This is our life. When we wake up, La ilaha illallah. When you go to work, La ilaha illallah. Whenever you study, La ilaha illallah. You're alive. The life of a Muslim is to establish this statement, not to get money, not to have a dollar, not to have a car, not to have a job, not to have a diploma, not to have a degree, not to have a big... La, our purpose in life is to establish this statement. La ilaha illallah. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يُوَحِدُ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُوَحِدُ اللَّهِ. Let the first thing you call them to single out Allah alone with tawheed, to worship Allah alone with no partners, to make all actions of obedience for Allah Azza wa Jal alone. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they were not ordered or commanded with anything except to single out Allah alone and make the religion purity for Him. make the religion purity for him, meaning make the obedience purity for him. مُخْلِصِينَ اللَّهُ دِينَ الطَّاعَةِ وَالْإِذْعَانِ وَالْإِسْتِسْلَامِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. To make the obedience to Allah, not to the desires and not to shaitan. Not to the desires and not to the shaitan, but the obedience must be purity for Allah alone. أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينَ الْخَالِصِ. The true religion, the pure religion, the actions of obedience and surrender and submission and humbleness is for Allah alone. It's for Allah alone. This is the statement here that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called to. And this is what he ordered to call to. And the one who bases his call upon this properly, with knowledge and with a beautiful intention and with sincerity and truthfulness with Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah Azza wa Jal will put barakah in his statements and his actions and his deeds, and he will be a person of great benefit. Of great benefit. So this is a wonderful affair. To bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. La ilaha illallah. Ay la ma'buda haqqun illallah. That there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. يعني أن كل ما يعبد من دون الله فهو باطل. آلهة باطلة. Everything that's worshipped besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship. No matter how great it is. Everything that's worshipped besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship. That's the meaning of this statement. That's the meaning of this statement, that everything that's worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal is falsehood and not worthy of worship. And the only one who is worshipped in truth, the only one who's worshipped in right, the only one who's worthy of every aspect of worship, inwardly and outwardly, is Allah alone. Is Allah alone. That's the meaning of this statement. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. To bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Means to believe that he is the messenger and the prophet, that he received revelation. And to affirm and believe in everything that he has informed us of. صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ تَسْدِيقُهُ فِيمَا أَخْبَرَ. To believe in every single thing that he said, whether you understand it or not. Whether you understand the ruling of that, or the wisdom of that, or the benefit from that or not. All it would have to do is reach you that it's authentically reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said this. And a believer who says, Sadaqa wallah, it's the truth. He said the truth. This is true. It's the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said it, it's the truth. This is the case. That's his right. That's the meaning of this statement. Tasdiquhu fima akhbara. Wa ta'atuhu fima amara. And that one will obey him in everything that he commands. If the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered it, then it's an obligation to obey him. Believing that he's the Messenger of Allah, and he doesn't command or order anything except that what Allah ordered him to order. And Allah, he knows best. And Allah, he's the most wise. And Allah, he's the most kind. And his orders are the most just. And his commandments are the most upright. And the one who follows that way, he will be like that, just and upright. By following the commandment of Allah and complying to the order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tasdiquhu fima akhbara wa ta'atuhu fima amara wa ijtinabu ma anhu naha wa zajara, and to leave off everything that he prohibited. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's the meaning of this statement. This is what you call them to, ya wa'ay. You're going to go to Yemen, you're going to meet the people of the book. This is what you call them to. This is what you call them to. And this is the way of Allah Azza wa Jal to call to Tawheed. Even likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions similar in his book. قُلْ يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. So this is the call of Allah. If you're going to call the Jews and the Christians, you call them to Tawheed. You don't call them to come fast. You don't call them to come fast with you. You don't call them to come pray with you. You don't call them to come give charity with you. You don't call them to unite with you in the lifestyle. You call them to unite with you upon Tawheed. To call them to the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنْهُمَ طَعُوكَ فِي ذَلِكَ فَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. That in if they agree with you about that and they obey you on that, then you tell them about salah. And then you tell them about zakat. And then you tell them about fasting. And then you tell them about Hajj. And the likes of this. This is the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And following his call and following his way in calling is from the completion of the statement and from the perfection of the testification of faith. To believe in him and that which he has informed us, and to obey him and that which he ordered sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to leave off everything that he forbade and prohibited. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alla yu'bada Allahu illa bima shara'a, and that Allah should not be worshipped in any manner except in the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the meaning of this statement. This is what the call is to. The call is to la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has rights upon us. He has rights upon us. And he's so kind
that he promised if we fulfilled his rights, he will give us a right as well. He will give us a right as well. And there's a great companion who narrated this narration about the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Who is that? The same one who he sent to Yemen. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. What did he say to him? Ya Mu'adh, atadri ma haqq Allahi ala al-ibad wa haqq al-ibadi ala Allah. Qala Allahu wa rasuluhu alam. He said, oh Mu'adh, do you know what is the right of Allah upon the slaves and the right of the slaves upon Allah? He said, Allah and His Messenger know best. And then he says, إِنَّ حَقَّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. He said, indeed, the right of Allah upon His slaves is that they worship Him alone and they do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. وَحَقَّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَ مَنْ لَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَ مَنْ لَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And the right of the slaves from Allah Azza wa Jal, a right that He gave out of kindness and out of mercy. Out of kindness and out of mercy, that He will not punish the one who worships Him alone with no partners. That He will not punish the one who worships Him alone with no partners. So this is from the greatest of affairs. فَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. This is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal to be worshipped alone with every aspect of worship. Calling on Him and supplicating to Him and hoping in Him and trusting in Him and relying upon Him and repenting to Him and crying to Him and hoping in Him and praying for Him and fasting for Him and giving charity for Him and seeking knowledge for Him. Every action of worship, giving the khutbah for Him, advising for Him, directing the people for Him, fighting for Him, lowering the gaze for Him, checking one's tongue for Him, controlling one's manners and conduct for Him, for Allah alone. This is His right. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. All actions of worship must be dedicated to Allah and devoted and directed to Allah alone. That's the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. But likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has rights. He has rights upon us. He has rights upon us. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first and foremost, that we believe in Him. That we believe in Him. We believe He's the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak from His desires. He doesn't speak from His desires. It's nothing but a revelation that's revealed to Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe that. We believe that. What He informed us from the Quran is the truth. It's revelation from Allah, from above the heavens. What He's informed us about the clarification and the details of the Quran and His authentic sunnah and laws and legal ways is the truth. It's a revelation that's revealed to Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we love Him. And we love Him. That's His right. That we love Him. That we love Him more than we love our own mother and our own father. And that we love Him more than we love our own our own son and our own daughter. And that we love Him more than we love our own wealth and our own property. Even more than we love our own souls. Even more than we love our own souls. That this must be established in our hearts. That we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than we love anything in the creation. And that we love Him for the sake of Allah. And that we love Him for the sake of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are His rights upon us. And likewise, from His rights upon us is that we obey Him. And that we comply to His commandment. And that we take Him as a role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have the best role model in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we take Him as our role model. He's the one that He's in front of it. He's the scale. We measure our deeds. Anything that we're curious how it should be done. With creed and belief, with worship and actions of drawing nearness to Allah, of devotion and servitude, with conduct and manners, with dealings and contracts, marriage and divorce, having children, all of these affairs, getting money, getting wealth, all of these affairs, He's our role model. He's the one that's followed. He's our example. And we must be sincere and truthful in that. And if we are, then that shahada will be heavy on our scale. And if we're deficient in that, then the weight of our shahada will be deficient likewise. From the attributes of the righteous, those who will be honored in paradise, وَالَذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ. There are people who establish their shahada. The first and greatest shahada is this shahada here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called to. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent his companions to the land to call to. The shahada that this religion is based upon. The reason why this creation was created. And the revelation was revealed. And the prophets and messengers, they were sent. The reason why we're breathing. It's to establish this shahada. It's to establish this shahada. If a person, he establishes that, then he's going to be min ibadillahi al-mukrameen. Those who are honored in this life. They'll be honored in their grave. They'll be honored in the hereafter. They'll be resurrected with the prophets at the head of the Prophet Muhammad alayhim wa ala nabiyyina afdal as-salati was-salam. But we have to fulfill the rites of this shahada. It's not just words. It's not just words, it's a way of life. It's a deen, it's a creed, it's a belief. It's something that you follow diligently, restrictedly. You show preference to that. You love that more than anything else. You love that more than anything else. The shahada, la ilaha illallah, I love that more than anything else. Anything can go, but not that. Take my money from me, take my life from me. Don't take my shahada. You cannot take the shahada from me. This one, you never let it go for nobody. For nobody, not for a dollar, not for $100, not for a job, not for a woman, not for a husband, nothing, not for a child. Anything can go, but the shahada can't go. Ra'sul amri al-Islam. The head of the affair, the most important thing in life is al-Islam. To establish this, because this life here goes away. This life here goes away, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. This life is nothing but a test and a trial. It's going to be gone soon. Somebody will replace us. We will not be here no more. We will not be here no more. People, our beloved one's going to put us in the ground and bury us. And we're going to go to what we put forward. If we put forward shahada and la ilaha illallah, khalisan min qulubina, sadiqan, and if it's sit with ikhlas, then we have nothing but good. Nothing but good. The grave will be light. The dark grave will turn into light and mercy and goodness because we follow the Prophet of Mercy, Nabiul Rahmah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy to all mankind. The only way to have the mercy that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with is to believe in him and to follow him and to give him his rights. To give him his rights. The rights of believing in him, following him, obeying him, and preferring his way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the shahada here. So this is what the call of Islam, this is what the call of Islam is based upon. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ وَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Then after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they obey you in that, then you inform them about the salah. Then you inform them about the salah. If they obey you in that, then you inform them about the zakat. So here we have the issue of the of prioritizing. That whenever you call and whenever you teach, whenever you learn, you prioritize. Little by little, step by step, that which takes precedence is that which is most important. Imagine somebody, he's praying five times a day. Somebody, he's giving much wealth and charity. Much wealth and charity. But in his prayer, he calls on somebody besides Allah. He'll bow his face on the ground. And he'll call on somebody besides Allah. His heart is directed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Ghithni, al-Madid. Or even somebody lesser than him. For example, some Jailani, for example, Tijani. He's with his head on the ground, calling on Tijani. With his hands in the air like this, Tijani. Tijani, Jailani, Madid. Provide for me. Help me. Save me. I'm in trouble. I'm in danger. Who can help me but you? Is his prayer going to benefit him? Is his shahada going to be heavy? Whether this shahada is invalidated entirely, it will not benefit that type of person. This is the attachment of the heart. This is tawheed. Tawheed is in the heart with love and trust and reliance and faith and belief. That must be for Allah. That must be for Allah. You called on Allah, not anybody else, alive or dead. No matter how great they are. No angel, no prophet, no messenger. Not even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't even like for somebody to say to him that whatever you will and whatever Allah wills. He didn't even accept that. How about calling on him? Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. So we see now, if we look at the situation of the ummah, we see many people, where did they go astray? Right here in the very first call. The very first call. They misunderstood the whole shahada. The whole testification of faith and the foundation of Islam. And this is the reason for separation, dissension, and division, and calamity, and for humiliation in the ummah. And the only way to rectify that is for me and you to establish the shahada. In our life, in our home, in our house, with our children, our wives, establishing the deen in our life. And then after that, the good will spread. The good will spread, but it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's not going to be overnight. The humiliation is not going to be raised. The ummah is in a bad situation because of showing love and preference to the worldly life, because of disrespecting the shahada and not showing its great right, and showing care and concern for that, and showing preference for this, rather showing preference to the worldly life. So if we're sincere and truthful and we work against our souls to establish this moderately, without going to extremes, not being extreme and going overboard, and our soul not being negligent, just establishing this in our life. And this is something that it's allowed to do in these lands, by the way. This is something that's allowed to do in these lands. In these lands, it's allowed for you to establish shahada la ilaha illallah in your house, in your home, in your job, in your street, in your market, in your masjid. No one will stop you. Rather, they're going to go. They go to the courthouses and they fight and they protest so that you can establish Islam here. So that you can establish Islam here. So that you can be a Muslim here. This is the American constitution and way of life. So all we have to do is establish our religion then. We don't have to sell alcohol. Nobody forced us to do that. We don't have to sell hookah pipes and the likes. Nobody forced us to do that. We don't have to take riba. Nobody forced us to do that. And then nobody's forcing this. It's because there's a desire and there's a lust. There's a want for that. There's a want for that. You want to have something that's not allowed. You have to suffice. You have to suffice with what is allowed. You can have a good life in this life. In these lands, even establish your religion, you can do that. You can do that if you're truthful, if you're sincere, if you work hard, if you make efforts, if you sacrifice your desires and you show concern for your religion, then avenues will open up for you and good will come by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is something that's very important, to call to the shahada and la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. After that, in importance is to establish the salah. Then inform them. If they obey you in that, then inform them that Allah has made obligatory upon them five daily prayers every day and every night. Made obligatory upon them, meaning to perform it in the proper manner. To establish those prayers with the proper conditions, the proper pillars, for fulfilling the obligations, learning how to perform it in the proper time and in the best manner, according to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you bore witness that he is the messenger of Allah. That you bore witness he's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You bore witness that there's nothing worthy of worship Allah, that there's nothing worthy of worship but Allah, and you bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The salah was revealed to him. The salah was revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why he said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي يُصَلِّ. Pray the way you see me pray. Because the salah was revealed to me. I'm the one who knows how to pray. I'm the one who Allah, he thought, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should be diligent to follow him, especially in the prayer. Especially in the prayer. Learning how to pray as he prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in order to do that, we must know about his noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, because they're the ones who informed us of this affair. They're the ones who carried that to us. They're the ones who have informed us of this issue. If they do that, then after that you inform them that Allah has made an obligation upon their wealth that should be taken from the wealthy of them and given to the poor amongst them. And this is the shahid for the author and the reason for mentioning this particular narration in the chapter of Zakat. Then if they obey you in that, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً يعني زَكَاةً مَفْرُوضَةً. Then inform that Allah has made an obligation upon them, صَدَقَةً, meaning a charity. يعني فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ, so this is the obligatory charity. It's called صَدَقَةً لِأَنَّهَا مِسْدَاقُ مَا فِي الْقَلْبِ يعني تَشْدِيقُ لِمَا فِي الْقَلْبِ. A person, he loves his wealth, he loves his money. So the fact that he gave it up for the sake of Allah, this is a sign and a testimony that his faith is true. This is a testification to the truthfulness of his faith, giving charity, especially the obligatory charity. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wasadaqatu burhan." Wasadaqatu burhan. The sadaqah is a proof. It's a proof. A proof of what? A proof of iman. A proof of the strong faith. Because now your person is tried. He's tried in this life with love, showing preference to the love of Allah or the love of the soul. And this was the great trial and the secret behind the trial. This is the secret behind the great trial of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The secret, the wisdom. What is the lesson from that? From the trial of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What was he tried with?
Ismail.
With Ismail. Who was Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam? His son, his what son? A beloved son, his beloved son. And he was not a little boy, meaning he didn't spend much time with him. He was not an old man, meaning he spent a whole lifetime with him. He's a young man just now becoming of age and being his companion, going along with him. His heart is attached to him. He loved his son. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had great love for his son Ismail, and Allah tried him in that love. In that love. Do you love him or do you love me? Do you understand this? Do you love him or do you love me? What did he do? He slaughtered his desires. Huh? And he went for the love of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla replaced that with him. and ransomed his son and gave him that which he loved and that which he loved. Gave him the love of Allah and also gave him his son as well. This is a great example for the one who does the same thing. He shows preference to the love of Allah. And this is tried here at the time whenever there's competition between the command of Allah and the command of the soul. What Allah wants from us and what we want. It's an obligation to order our souls to do what Allah orders us. An obligation to order our children and our family to do what Allah ordered them. Not what we want and not what we order. This is the test and the trial. It goes back to showing love and preference to the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sadaqah burhan. The sadaqah is from the proof of that. It's from the proof of that because the person, he loves money. And it's allowed to love money. But just not more than you love Allah. You can love money, but you can't love money more than Allah. More than you love Allah. You can't love money more than you love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning you can't let, one cannot let his love for money cause him to disobey Allah or disobey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in doing this, he's showing preference to his love for money over his love for Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I understand that. So a sadaqah burhan, that's why it's called sadaqah. Any land is because it's an evidence and a proof of the truthfulness of the faith in the heart of that person. And the heart of that person. تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقُرَائِهِمْ. And it is taken from their wealthy. And it is given to their poor. It is taken from their wealthy and is given to their poor. Meaning that those who are wealthy from amongst them, this charity is taken from them. Meaning from the Muslims. So the zakat is only taken from the Muslims. It's only taken from the Muslims. And it's also only distributed to the Muslims, except in the cases that have preceded, that we have seen, مُوَلَّفَةُ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That was the only, yani the only circumstance with regards to that. So this is an evidence for that is taken from their wealthy and distributed to their poor, yani from the believers, from the Muslims. So this is a great narration, a wonderful narration. Yani after clarifying the obligation of establishing the proper creed and belief from the shahadatain, after that, the most important action from the actions of the body, it takes precedence and comes next. After that, the most important action from the actions related to the wealth. As-salat is a'azam ibadat al-badaniya. A'azam al-ibadat al-badaniya as-salat. The greatest of the actions of worship related to the body is the salat. Wa'azam al-ibadat al-maliya as-zakat. And the greatest actions of worship related to the wealth is the charity, the obligatory charity. Is the obligatory charity, the zakat, the third pillar. So this is the affair here. Somebody may say, now, why did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not mention as-sawm wal hajj in this narration? There's no mention of as-sawm wal hajj, correct? In this narration. It's in the 10th year. That's the benefit from the beginning. When did he send Mu'adh radiallahu anhu? In the 10th year of the hijrah. So zakat is already obligatory. Sawm is already obligatory. Hajj is already any obligatory. Allah knows best. This is because at that time, it was not the time for fasting or the time for Hajj. Yani the time had not come. The particular time for these obligations had not come. So he ordered them to establish the obligations at that time. And then if they follow that, and then if they comply to that, then it will be easy for them whenever Ramadan comes to fast. And it'll be easy for them whenever the Hajj comes to fast. He delayed the information or to order them with these affairs until first they accept these issues here. And in this manner, they will enter into the fold of Islam. And then after complying to these affairs, whenever the time for Ramadan comes, or whenever they enter entirely into the fold of Islam, then they'll be informed of these affairs likewise. And in order to facilitate for them and to make it easy for them. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. So this is from the benefits that are mentioned with regards to this narration. Likewise, in the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after ordering him to inform them about the obligatory charity and that he would take that from them, he ordered him sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be cautious and to be careful and to not take from their most precious wealth. وَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And be cautious. I warn you from taking their most precious wealth. So this is the evidence that whenever the one who takes the zakat, he will not take the most precious and the most valuable wealth. And from the animals, for example, he will not take the most healthy. He will not take the best one that's most beloved, because this is going to be hard for the person. The person, he has different types of wealth, and some of them are from the most precious and the best of his wealth. So this one, the heart has a strong attachment to that. So to force him to take the one that he loves the most, this is difficult for him. This is difficult for him. Likewise, it's understood on the other hand as well. It's not allowed to take the worst of the wealth as well. It's not allowed to take or for the person to give, nor for the worker to take the worst or the cheapest of the wealth likewise. Because just as it's not allowed to take the right of the one giving the wealth, it's also not allowed to deny the right of the one that the wealth is going to be taken for. So you can't take the best of their wealth, nor can you give Allah the worst of your wealth. Nor can you give Allah any of your charity that you're giving. You cannot give likewise the worst of your wealth. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ. Do not go to the worst and the worst or the cheapest of your wealth to give in charity. To give in charity. So this is not allowed likewise. So what is an obligation and what will be taken from the zakat is the moderate wealth. And this is just, and from the justice of al-Islam. As for if the individual, he wanted to give more, then it will be allowed for him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned along with that a warning as well. Do not take their most precious wealth. You know, do not oppress them and violate them. Because if you take their most precious wealth, this will be a violation and an injustice. And if you violate them and you perform injustice towards them, then they call on Allah Azza wa Jalla, and there's nothing to stop the supplication from befalling you. There's nothing to stop the supplication from befalling you. So this is also from the great justice of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that if anyone is oppressed, that if a person is ever oppressed, and he sincerely calls on Allah alone to seek retribution and aid and help against his oppressor, Allah will answer him. Allah will answer him. But we should not misunderstand. And this is the case for a Muslim or a non-Muslim. This is the case for a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Anybody who calls on Allah alone, sincerity, for in a time of oppression and distress, Allah will answer him. Allah will answer him. So we should not oppress anyone. We should be afraid of the supplication of the oppressed. And wallahu alam, I've witnessed more than one event in my life. I've seen individuals that I know them. They were oppressing individuals, and I know people that said they made dua against them. And I've seen those individuals, they have bad outcome. You can't think of anything except, wallahu alam, maybe it's very clear. This person, he was upon a particular way, and then he's harming and oppressing these people and lying on them and deceiving them and cheating them and the likes like this, until the extent that a person had warned them, I will make dua against you, I will make dua, and then he did not deceive. And then the person, he said, I made dua against him. And then later on you will see that person in a very bad situation. This is something that's very serious. Oppressing the people is very dangerous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-zulmu dhulumatun yawm al-qiyamah. Oppression is darkness. Dhulumat, darkness, levels of darkness on the day of resurrection, on the day of resurrection. And it becomes even more severe whenever a person, he is oppressing his own brothers in Islam, and even more severe oppressing his own family members, and even more severe oppressing the weak who can defend themselves. The weak from the women, for example, or the poor, or taking advantage of the children, or oppressing them in their wealth, or in their bodies, and their properties, or in their reputation, and the likes like this. This is a foul way. This is a foul way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned from this. He warned from this. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَاتَّقِي دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. And you should be careful and be cautious from the supplication of the one who was oppressed. المظلوم, يعني he is المنقوس حقه. The one who his right has been taken, either by forbidding him his right or taking something from him that he deserves. And violating it like this by not giving him what he deserves or taking from him what he deserves. He has something coming to him, and to forbid that and to prohibit that and not give that properly. Or he has a right that somebody will take it from him. All of this is considered dhulm. All of this is considered dhulm. And the one who is oppressed, if he calls on Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah will respond to him. Allah will respond to him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and cover our sins. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.